Good evening, everyone. It's good to see you here tonight. Despite the rain and that cold weather that just came in, it's good to see you here. And I'd just like to tell Brother George that it doesn't get any better, Brother George. So. Good lesson, brother. Tonight, I'd like to, and I guess the title of the lesson will be a question, and this is what I want to base my lesson on tonight. And I'd like to say this before we begin. If there's any questions, comments, if I say anything that is not correct, please raise your hand and let me know. Okay, so that I'd rather we straighten things out here and now, and not wait till later. So, with that said, my lesson tonight is: can we fall from God's grace? Is it possible to fall from the grace of God? And Brother George read a verse in the book of Hebrews, chapter 2. So that would give you a clue of the answer. So that's what I want to base my lesson on tonight and perhaps the next few Wednesdays. And so I ask you, the audience, I ask you the question, is it possible to fall from grace? Yes? Okay. And also, I'd like for us to think about this, because a lot of people think this, a lot of people out in the world think this, that when a person, when he's once saved, he's always saved. That's a thought that the world has. Once saved, always saved. Another question is, how do we get into God's grace? Or how do we find favor in God's eyes? But before we go into scriptures that talk about falling from God's grace, I'd like to talk in tonight's lesson. It's going to be based on grace. And this is my train of thought, that we have to be in Jesus Christ in order to fall from grace. So people out there that say, well, I believe in God, I believe in Christ, they can't fall from grace because they're not. They haven't found grace before God's eyes. They haven't found favor before God's eyes. And so tonight I'd like to talk about grace. And so let's begin with this question. What is grace? Anyone? Or any verses that come to mind? Sister Judy. Okay, God's unmerited favor for us. Okay. Okay, Sister Judy. Tell me again, I'm sorry, I didn't. God's riches at Christ's expense is what Sister Judy said. And the two scriptures that come to mind is John chapter 3, verse 16. What does John chapter 3, verse 16 say? For God so loved the world, and let's go there, and our lesson will be taken from Ephesians chapter 2. So if you'd like to go to Ephesians chapter 2, And mark that that spot, Ephesians chapter 2. Beginning with verse 1. And now turn to John chapter 3 and verse 16. And this, again, this reminds me of God's grace towards us. God's love. God's mercy. And grace is having favor. It's righteousness given to us by unmerited favor. So what does that mean? Is we don't deserve it. But God, through his love, through his mercy, and his grace, gives us eternal life through his son, Jesus Christ. And so John chapter 3, verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Verse 17, "For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." So we see God's grace here. We see God's love. We see God's mercy in that he loved the world, and he's talking about you and me. And he says that he gave his only begotten son. But listen to what the next part of it says. That whosoever what? Believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so if grace is God having favor, finding favor in God's eyes through his son, Jesus Christ, in that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, into this world, and Jesus has died, does this mean that everybody is saved? I don't know if you understand my question, according to the verse that I just read. If God has sent his son to die, and God loves the world, that he has sent his only begotten son, does that mean that everybody is saved? That everybody has found favor in God's eyes? No. And again, because we see here that he says, whosoever believeth in him should not perish. And so what God has done, and he showed us that he has sent his son to die on that cross. He has paid the sins for you and me, even though we don't deserve it. And so God has already done his part. So God, Jesus Christ, has already done his part. What do we have to do on our behalf? Be obedient, believe. And so this reminds me of God's grace. Also, the other one that reminds me of God's love and God's grace is 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. And we always read this, or maybe I always read it every time I teach a lesson. Second Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. And he says there, Peter says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." And so what is God, what has he done? He has sent his son Now, it's up to us to believe, to obey the gospel, believe in Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of God, and find grace in God's eyes. And so we see here, once again in this verse, that God is not willing that any should perish. Now let's turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. And that was chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 1. And remember that tonight's lesson is about God's grace. But keep in the back of your mind the question that we asked in the beginning. Can we fall from God's grace? Is it possible to fall from God's grace? Okay, Ephesians chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. And he says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." And so what the Apostle Paul is going to teach us here in this verse, because Romans tells us that for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, the Apostle Paul here is telling us that because of our sins, because of we are dead in our trespasses and sins before we obeyed the gospel. But verse 4 says this, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ." And what does that last part of verse 5 says? "By grace ye are saved." Chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 reminds me of Acts chapter 2. Because as Peter and the rest of the apostles are preaching on the day of Pentecost, what does he tell? What does he tell them? He says, well, you are guilty of what? You're guilty of the death of Jesus Christ. This is what Paul is telling us, that we're guilty of our sins. We in our trespasses, we are guilty. And we walked according to the courses of this world. And so on the day of Pentecost, as Peter and the rest of the apostles are preaching, we see that they are guilty of the death of Jesus Christ. And what is his response to them? He says, that Christ, he says in Acts chapter 2, verse 36, he says, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God had made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ." So we see here that that's the same thing that Paul is telling us here in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, that we're guilty of our sins. The same thing that they did on the day of Pentecost, because as they heard these words, what did they say? They said, well, men and brethren, what shall we do? And what is Peter's response? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remissions of your sins. And let's go there, because I'm paraphrasing, Acts chapter 2. Now, when they heard this, verse 37, Acts chapter 2 and verse 37, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart when they were being accused of the death of Jesus Christ. So verse 36 says that Peter tells them that God has made him both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remissions of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And so this is what the Apostle Paul is telling us, that in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1, 2, 3, that we were dead in sins and in our trespasses, and so we didn't have grace before God. We weren't we didn't have favor in God's eyes. But we see that by obeying the gospel, because if you read the book of Romans, it talks about faith. And he talks about Abraham, how Abraham obeyed God when God told him that you need to leave to a place that I will show you, and you shall be blessed. And all the nations shall be blessed in thy seed. And so we see that Abraham had faith in God, in what God told him, and he obeyed. And so we see that this is God's mercy, this is God's grace towards us, in that he sent his son to die for us. And when we obey the gospel, God, if we turn over to Colossians chapter 1, we'll see what the Apostle Paul tells us, what he does when we obey the gospel. Chapter 1, I'd like to read verses 13 and 14. Let's begin with verse 12. He says, give me thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness. And this is what the Apostle Paul is telling us in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. When we were in that darkness, and when we obeyed the gospel, this is what God has done for us, and he uses the word translated. He says, who has delivered us from the power of darkness. We were in darkness because darkness represents what? Represents sin. But he has translated us into what? Into the kingdom of his dear son. So when we obey the gospel, we are taken out of the world, and God translates us into, or he puts us in, what is the kingdom? He puts us in the church. And so we find grace before God because of the faith that we have that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We obey the gospel. And he has put us in his kingdom. Verse 14, in whom, talking about Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And he continues to say in verse 21, Colossians chapter 1, verse 21, or 20, he says, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in the earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh to death, to present you. And this is, and this is God's grace again, because we see in verse 22 that because of his death on that cross, he has, it says in verse 22, in the body of his flesh to death, so that he can present us, for those that obey the gospel, he has, he presents us holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. So this is what God does for us when we obey the gospel. And it's because of Jesus Christ. And this is why he died on the cross, so that we would have that opportunity to be holy before God and to be unblameable. Unblameable of what? What were we guilty of? Sin. So what has Christ done for us when we obey the gospel? He has made us unblameable of sin. What does scripture say? That God remembers what? Your sins no more when we obey the gospel. And so this is what the Apostle Paul here is saying. You know, he makes us holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. In other words, they can't find you guilty for anything that you've done, because Christ has already paid the price. But listen to what verse 23 says, because remember, we're talking about, we'll be studying about if it is possible to fall from grace. Listen to what verse 23 here says. What do we have to do? If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, wherefore I, Paul, am made a minister. So what we said, the comment that we made at the beginning of the lesson is, once saved, always saved, is not a true statement. We see what verse 23 just told us. If you continue in the faith, because God has already made us holy, unblameable, and unreprovable, and so we must continue in the faith. So it is possible to fall from grace. And it, the statement that once saved, always saved, is not true. And the verses that I think about when I hear this statement that once saved, always saved, takes me to, I believe it's the book of turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 8, chapter 5, beginning with verse 8. There's a reason why the Apostle Peter tells us to cast all our care upon God, for he careth for you. And there's a reason why he talks about our adversary, the devil. And listen to what he says here in chapter 5, verse 8. That we need to be what? Sober. We need to be vigilant. Because what? Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, I've always thought about this, you know, because it uses the lion. If you've ever seen The Wild Kingdom, if that was a show that was on in the 70s or 80s, I don't know, The Wild Kingdom. The lion prancing on another animal. Who does the lion usually go for? Does it go for the strong? What does it go for? What is it looking for? It's looking for the weak. The vulnerable. What is the Apostle Peter telling us here? So these statements that we just made earlier, that there's a reason why he's telling us here that we have to be vigilant, that we have to be sober. Because our adversary, the devil, is like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And I don't know who made this statement recently, but Satan already has his. So who is he going to come after? He's going to come after the obedient, those that are seeking to please God. Those are the ones that he's seeking to take. And so we see here, going back to the roaring lion, you know, it looks for the weak. It looks for the easiest prey to take. And so we need to be sober. But verse 9 says, whom if we resist steadfast, or if we resist firm in the faith. So we see here again a verse that talks about that we must continue in the faith, to be faithful towards God. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Let's turn over to James really quick before I'd like to also talk about what it says in James. And this also fits the lesson that Brother George or Jorge was taught earlier. Chapter 2. Beginning with verse 17. Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Verse 26 says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. And so we see that we must continue to be faithful. We must continue to be steadfast in the Lord, because it is possible to fall from grace. And I'd like to end with Romans chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. So after we have found grace before God, after we have obeyed the gospel, listen to what the Apostle Paul, how he asked the question here in Romans chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? The argument before is what? It's because of our sins that God showed us his grace. So he's asking the question, so must we continue in sin so that grace may abound, so that grace may be seen? And this is the question that the Apostle Paul is asking here. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And he gives us the answer in verse 2. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? And he continues to tell us how we have found grace before God's eyes. Verse 3 says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death, that we were buried with him by baptism into his death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also should we walk in newness of life. Verse 11. Likewise, reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so we see here once again that, going back to Ephesians chapter 2. If you would continue to read, or we can continue with verse 6. We'll continue with this next week. But I like what verses 7 and 8 have to say, and 9. Because it is not, the Apostle Paul says that it is not of our works that we can find salvation or grace. Verse 8 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto God, good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And so we'll talk about these verses next week, Lord willing. And once again, I'd like for us to please also read, because I've got several scripture from the book of Hebrews. Read Hebrews chapter 2, Hebrews chapter 4, Hebrews chapter 6, Hebrews chapter 10, because these are, it has scripture in there that talks about falling short of the glory of God. And so we'll continue with this thought next week. Any thoughts or any comments that anyone would like to make at this time? Let us end our lesson with a prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for this day. We thank you, Father, for allowing us to be here this evening to study another portion of your word. We ask you, Father, and we thank you for sending your Son to die on the cross for our sins. Help us, Father, to hear your word, Father, to obey your word. And we ask you, Father, to be with us, that our faith may be strong, Father, and that we may not fall, Father, but that we may look to you for strength. Bless us, Father, be with the congregation, be with the church that meets here, be with those that of our members that were mentioned tonight. Those that are not here with us, be with them as well. Be with us through this evening and through our lives, and forgive us of our sins. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.